Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer. For 1 week only, buy one, get one. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code HOWIEBOGO.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
You said a chemical weapon used by Russia would trigger a response in kind.
It will trigger a significant response.
What does that mean?
I'm not going to tell you. Why would I tell you? You got to be silly.
If I told you, you would have given it away. You don't think I can keep a secret?
No, but he would have read your face.
You don't trust my poker face?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Good morning, Governor DeSantis. Don't say gay. Don't say. Say. First Amendment.
Can't you read?
Read what?
The notice.
What notice?
Now, it's true, many of the people who help, who whip this up, have never actually read the bill. They haven't taken the time to do that.
I happen to think that Joe Biden, is Irish, really has a great deal of compassion.
Naturally, we blamed it on the Irish.
I may be Irish, but I'm not stupid.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the show. I'm Taylor Cormier, Howie Carr's executive producer. Howie is off today. He, as he mentioned yesterday, said he's going to be having a slight medical procedure today. He'll be fine. He'll be back tomorrow. But I'm happy to be sitting in here today for the big guy, and I don't mean Joe Biden. 844-500-4242 is the number to join us today. We'll be taking a lot of calls. One of the parts of the intro that you may have heard was Ron Perlman, and I must admit, I've never seen a Ron Perlman movie, never seen a TV show with Ron Perlman in it. I don't know if he's done TV, but I know of him. He was in Hellboy, a couple of the Hellboy movies, I believe, and I think that's what he's been most known for as of late. But he released a video today, pretty funny, not intended to be funny, but he called Ron DeSantis pretty much a Nazi for going against free speech for what Ron Perlman called the Don't Say Gay bill. Really, it's a parental rights and education bill in Florida that Governor DeSantis signed into law yesterday. But typical Democrat, Ron Perlman didn't read even the talking points on the bill itself. He just heard Don't Say Gay and went off in this 45-second tirade that we'll play for you later in the show. Don't want to get into it right now, but we'll be discussing a lot about that today. Not necessarily Ron Perlman, but a lot about the Don't Say Gay bill, which even the mainstream media has been calling that. And I find that very, very reproachful. It's disgusting that the mainstream media, and they've taken up the Democrat talking points, which is, again, I repeat myself, Democrats, mainstream media, but it's disgusting that they've taken up the torch as well with the Don't Say Gay. It's the parental rights and education bill that was signed into law. We'll talk about that later on today. But I do want to talk about what a lot of people have been talking about, and that's what happened at the Oscars. I don't want to rehash the incident too much. But I started out yesterday, admittedly, coming into work, thinking, gee, I hope we don't spend too much time on this. I hope we really don't talk about this. Because it's just celeb gossip, really. When you boil it down, it's just a feud between a couple of celebrities. And as I thought about it more, and as we delved into discussion yesterday about what happened, it goes a lot beyond that, and for many different reasons. I see a lot of celebrity talk as, you know, stuff that's reserved for the water cooler, and really in this business, we get phone calls and emails and text messages saying, don't we have more important things to be talking about than Will Smith and Chris Rock? The fact is, yes, we do have more important things, but we spend a majority of our time talking about those more important things on a day-to-day basis. It's okay to slow down and talk about something, especially when I think there's a lot more repercussions to this incident than what we've just been discussing the past day and a half or so about what took place at the Oscars on Sunday night. Jim Gaffigan, a great comedian who I used to have a lot of respect for until his latest special, where he really came out as a never Trumper and really slammed a lot of the Republican line of thinking. I don't really care for him all that much anymore, but he had a joke in one of his original specials about celebrity gossip being really junk food, and he called it McDonald's. He said it's the McDonald's of discussion, talking about, you know, who's dating whom and what's the royal family doing. He called it McDonald's for the soul. It's junk, but it feels good going down. You're eating it, and you feel bad about it afterwards. But why is it important to talk about this? And I think that's because of the nature of the society and the culture that we're in today and that we're subjected to. A lot of American society and the way we act and the way we present ourselves, the way we talk about things on social media especially, and even on radio shows or television shows, is driven by pop culture. And it's everywhere, even in the White House. You know, we have Joe Biden in there now talking with TikTokers and Instagram influencers, bringing in recording artists to get things like Build Back Better passed and the infrastructure bill. And it's not just Joe Biden. Donald Trump did that as well. He brought in Kim Kardashian and Kanye West to talk about crime reform. And that was more policy discussion to get their take on what was going on, where they saw changes that needed to be made. Joe Biden, I think, uses it as propaganda, as you know, people follow these individuals online, so they must really respect what they say, and they send out their talking points. And that's very clear today, as we see a lot of the mainstream media getting their talking points from Joe Biden. I'd like to play a cut here. This is Don Lemon, and we talked about this yesterday on the program as well. Joe Biden getting his messaging, the White House and Joe Biden, they're not on the same page. And that's more apparent yesterday than it has been at any point in the Biden White House, where he came out, Peter Doocy asked him three things that Joe Biden had said. And Joe Biden said, that's not true. I didn't say any of that. When in fact he did. We don't have to rehash the cuts right now. But he came out and specifically said, I wasn't talking about Putin, a regime change with Vladimir Putin, when I said this man cannot remain in power. He said he was really just expressing his moral outrage, his personal feelings as an individual, not so much in the professional capacity of the president of the United States. That talking point apparently went out to CNN because Don Lemon had this to say, cut 15.
The president is saying exactly what most of the world feels about Vladimir Putin. Now, he did not in that speech say that Vladimir Putin should be removed or we're going to take him out of power. He said this man should not remain in power. What person in their right mind thinks that someone who bombs innocent people, children, a country that is an unprovoked war, should remain in power?
Oh, now, let's pause it right there. Because this is another hour of discussion here. What he just said, who thinks that anybody who indiscriminately bombs children should remain in power? Hello? Anybody remember the early weeks of September, the last weeks of August, early September?
Mind's going blank now.
Joe Biden authorized a strike, or at least somebody authorized a strike. Joe Biden may have been sleeping at the time. Against what they thought were sympathizers in Afghanistan for ISIS, turned out to be a carload of kids and their father. They were actually trying to help the refugees escape with the evacuation of Afghanistan at Bagram Air Force Base. So by Don Lemon's own logic, Joe Biden cannot remain in power. But I digress. That was the talking point that went out to CNN and MSNBC and all of the other Democrat-run media outlets. So my point is that it's a lot of influencing. It's a lot of using star power and a lot of, oh, gee, I hope this gets out there and it becomes a popular talking point with the kids that we can get this out there. That's a lot of why this matters, a lot of why what happened at the Oscars matters, because it can happen on a national stage one day. Our response to it has to be precise, it has to be ultimate, it has to be decisive, so that when it happens again, we have an appropriate precedent to base our response to that incident on. And if we let one slide, like this Will Smith incident, which apparently it seems to be sliding, Chris Rock's not filing charges. That's his personal choice. The Oscars is not requesting that Will Smith give back his award that he received after he slapped the bleep out of Chris Rock, though their guidelines say that maybe they should consider action against Will Smith, maybe not necessarily taking back his Oscar, but some sort of action, maybe a ban against him. We saw a guy lose his cool because his wife didn't like a joke. I think about that. He lost his absolute cool because he thought the joke was funny to begin with. Then he looked at Jada and saw the look that she was giving him. And think about this. This was not a spur of the moment. You know, Will Smith happened to be standing next to Chris Rock and kind of gave him a little slap across the cheek, playfully saying, don't talk about it. That's not something we joke about. He had to get up out of his chair, walk up on stage, walk the 30 feet or so to Chris Rock, stand there, plant his feet, and land this slap across his face, and then walk away, smirking self-righteously to himself that what he just did was the appropriate right response. And the rest of the room, I mean, they thought it was a joke, as I think we all did to begin with, but then it was plain to everybody that it was serious, and the mood, the pallor in the room just completely changed. And you realize this was a serious man here, that he wasn't joking around. But then he won the Best Actor Award minutes later, and everybody stood up and cheered for this guy, who then proceeded to make a very strange speech. It was very, very upsetting to see that there was no immediate response. Where was security? Why wasn't he ushered out? If anybody had done that in any sort of a presentation show, they would have been immediately escorted out. But because this is Will Smith and he's been nominated, he's given a pass. Jim Carrey came out today and said on CBS Mornings with Gail King, he said, I was sickened by the standing ovation. Hollywood is spineless en masse, and it really felt like this is a really clear indication that we aren't the cool club anymore. He said Will Smith should have been arrested and sued over the act. He said, I'd have announced this morning that I was suing Will for $200 million because that video is going to be there forever. It's going to be ubiquitous. That insult is going to last a very long time. If you want to yell from the audience and show disapproval or say something on Twitter, you don't have the right to walk up on stage and smack somebody in the face because they said words. I can't agree with Jim Carrey more. And because of this incident, I think there's going to be a precedent set that it's not okay to make jokes about anybody anymore. And that's a sad thing. And we'll get into this more later about the implications this has for comedy. But it's really depressing that we've gone from a world that loved Don Rickles, one of my favorites, to a world that is probably now going to cancel the likes of Don Rickles because they make their comedy based on people's appearances or how they present themselves in a loving manner. And we'll get it more into that. 844-500-4242. We've got to take a break right now. We'll be right back. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
He's making talk radio great again. He's Howie Carr.
These high school boys and girls are having a hop at the local soda fountain, innocent of a new and deadly menace lurking behind closed doors.
Howie Carr.
Is that your wife, sir?
Jesus Christ.
I'll tell you this. What was it, a train?
The incomparable Don Rickles. He couldn't get away. I was going to make that the poll question today. Could Don Rickles get away with his act in 2022? But the resounding answer to that, I think, is absolutely not. That would have been a 99-1 poll question. Incidentally, today's poll question is brought to you by the Howie Car Show store. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click store to get your Make Gas Cheap Again t-shirt for $19.99. That's HowieCarShow.com. Click store. It's a tremendous t-shirt, believe me. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should North End restaurants be able to continue outdoor dining without fees indefinitely?
So Mayor Michelle Wu of Boston held a press conference on this today, saying that she's going to offer a hardship application to restaurants. And if they can prove that they have experienced some hardship, I don't think she's waiving the fee completely of $7,500, but I think they get a 50% off coupon to the to the outdoor dining fee. We'll discuss this later in the show as well. I am going to say no. I don't think they should be able to get outdoor dining without a fee indefinitely, though I do believe they should have it for some time.
89% of the audience believes yes, they should be able to continue. 11% say no.
That's fine. That's fine. We'll get into that later as well. 844-500-4242. Rob, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Rob.
Hi, Taylor. I think you're both right and wrong.
Okay.
You're right. Yeah, you're right to be discussing this topic, the slap and related issues. You're wrong that the other kinds of issues, politics, are more important. No, this is where conservatives, Republicans have blown it for the last 40 years, and this is why we're losing our country, and the Marxists and the wokesters have taken over, because we Republicans, we think philosophically and intellectually and practically and all this, and we're nerds, I think, Republicans, but even the blue collar guy just has a very practical approach to things, and we think this other stuff is like, oh well, I'm not going to worry. No, we have been losing this battle for 40 years, and well, actually going back to when Ed Sullivan told Elvis Presley he couldn't wiggle his hips on stage, and he got mocked for that, because the culture leads, and that includes then the education, schooling, and things like that. Well, and the fact that religion is fading away. So what has stepped? We've allowed the Harvey Weinsteins of the world,
right,
and these other people to define what America is. And when you go around the world, I've lived abroad, when you are around the world, they watch Westerns on TV, they watch Hollywood music. Look at the way rap and that stuff has infected our culture and degraded that community.
I know it, Rob. You've got a great point, and I agree with you. And I'll add to that. I think that, what we have to say here on the radio and on TV and on social media as far as conservatives is only going to go so far. It's going to take an institution like the Academy that hosts the Oscars. I don't know the whole name because I really don't care. It's going to take them to say something. And this has all been coming to a head, right? Over the past several years, it's been, well, we're going to have, a comedian. Oh, Kevin Hart, we can't have him because he had some homophobic comments on his Twitter back in 2011 or whatever it might have been. So they've been going back and forth as far as comedy versus no comedy. Now it's come to a head on the stage where you have somebody who didn't like a joke actually acting out. They have to take a stand and say, are we going to punish Chris Rock for making fun of somebody's appearance? Or are we going in a laughing manner, a jovial manner, or are we going to punish somebody who actually committed a crime on stage? We'll be right back with more of your calls in Grace's News.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. 844-500-4242 is the number. Before we get to Grace's News, I do want to play one cut that is resurfaced. This is 1991. Have you heard this cut, Grace?
I don't believe I have.
Will Smith on the Arsenio Hall show, and he himself made fun of a bald man who was in the Arsenio Hall band, and this guy actually had a long career. He used to play with Doc Severinsen in the Tonight Show band. He's played all over. He's incredible. Bassist, but he's a bald guy, and he was playing in Arsenio Hall's band on the stage, and Will Smith made fun of him. This is Cut 24.
Do that in this world, man. You can't do that in this world, man. Arsenio, they got rules. They got rules. Like, he has a rule. The bass player, he got a rule. He got to wax his head every morning. That's a rule. He follows the rules, man. He follows the rules. Oh, these are jokes. Come on.
There it is. These are jokes.
Watch your microaggressions, bro.
These are jokes. Come on. He got a few boos there, but it was just a joke. It's fine. So at one point in Will Smith's life, he was open to humor. So,
by the way, that was a joke.
I don't know why he's so upset.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those things, too, where you can argue about the appropriateness or the hurtfulness of a joke if you want to, but once you put your hands on someone, you lose that argument. Once violence comes into it, you're the loser. It's like what I always say about when girls get in fights with the bride. It's like rocks, paper, scissors. Bride covers all. The bride's always going to win. If you're the person in the fight who puts their hands on someone first, you're always going to lose that argument because you took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And it really is a shame because he ended up winning the Oscar. And that's why when people say, oh, this was staged, I'm like, I don't believe this is staged because I don't understand why someone would want to ruin a really good historical night for themselves with this PR nightmare.
Right. He could have used that platform if he wanted to talk about alopecia, to talk about that affliction that his wife has been diagnosed with and apparently is embracing. She shaved her head, right? So it's strange. It's really strange. We'll talk about this more later on, but right now it's time for Grace's News.
Thank you for having me, Taylor. I wanted to start with the news that the FDA has authorized, and this is an important distinction, as Taylor brought this up earlier in my show, second booster shot, fourth jab for people who are 50 and older. Now, again, if you got the Johnson & Johnson, I'm guessing this would be your third jab. Mm-hmm. But if you had the traditional Moderna or Pfizer 1-2 shot, this would technically be your eligibility for a fourth jab if you're 50 and older.
Two more for a free coffee.
Yes, just bring in the card, get it punched.
So this is for people over 50. And so they start this process where it's done by age. They'll do it for over 50. Then they'll run whatever tests they do, and they'll have it over 18, and then they'll approve it for kids. I don't know. I guess if you're really devoted to the cause, to this cult, and you want to keep yourself protected from whatever minuscule subvariants are out there, go ahead. But
it's hard not to think when you hear people like Albert Boulars and other people who are on who are CEOs of these big pharma companies that it's a necessity. It's hard not to think, is it a necessity for our health or is it a necessity for your
bottom line?
Yeah, for your bottom line. Because, I mean, if you really do look at the numbers, and I actually, a few months ago, I had to write about this, but if you look at the numbers and you just take Pfizer alone, if you don't even look at Moderna, you just take Pfizer, which I think is probably the most popular of all the vaccines as far as COVID goes, their gains from year to year once we had COVID is jarring. I'm talking like a real big leap in profits. And that should always make people question it. I mean, that's just human nature, is to go, wait, you guys are making a lot of money off this. Maybe we need other people to come in here. And honestly, I know it's the FDA, but I was listening to Dr. Marty McCary. He's been on Fox today. He's been on a lot of different shows. He was on the Morning Wire, which I know you listen to in the morning too. And it is something to question, like, who are these people who are telling us that these things need to go into our bodies, that we need to have these? I mean, I question the motivation of it all.
And if you're going to present that you need a fourth dose or a third dose, whatever it might be, at least give me an argument as to why.
Yeah.
Because as I understand it, is it the SA2 variant that's out there now? It's an Omicron
variant. Yes.
So it's another transformer in the lineup. It's not even as bad as Omicron, which was not bad to begin with. So why then do I need, and this again goes into the question of natural immunity. What's better, to take my chances with a subvariant versus a vaccine? Why do I need a fourth shot if I can stand up to this on my own and live with almost 100% guarantee.
Yeah, and I think it also ties into another issue that we're seeing where these government officials and these politicians, I heard Tucker point this out a couple weeks ago, that they're no longer really trying to convince you. Like you just said, you know, make a case. But whether it's this or anything else that's happening in the world, they're not trying to make cases. They're just trying to tell you what to do. And I think that wears on people where it's like, hold on a second, I am able to make some choices here. I'm able to use my own risk assessment skills. Why can't I know the information? Why is it that and the part of all of these issues, whether it's COVID or whether it's the border or whether it's China and Russia and all these other things, the problem that bothers me is, since when did it become not okay to ask questions?
Right.
And we see this with Ukraine. I mean, it's obvious that everyone with a heart would look at what's happening in Ukraine and feel terrible, but why are certain questions off limits? Why am I fearful that if I ask a question in good faith that I'm going to be called a Putin apologist? Like, this is it's so distorted.
And to your point, it's I think the companies like Pfizer and Moderna, they understand that their explanations aren't going to make a difference anyway. The people that really are afraid still, they're going to get the shot without question. The people who have questions, they're not going to get the shot even if somehow Pfizer could respond to their questions with any degree of accuracy.
Right.
Or honesty.
Yes. And then you also have Dr. Fauci, who came out over the weekend. I don't know if people have noticed, he's back on the morning show circuit.
He's coming to Rhode Island. He's going to be in Bristol soon.
Oh, what is this? Like a tour?
I don't know if he's getting some sort of an award.
Oh, an honorary
biggest
degree.
Biggest little state in the union is just a euphemism, right?
Jared, I thought, is it still Lent? I thought you were giving up short jokes.
He's not a devout Catholic like Joe Biden.
About Dr. Fauci. Yeah, I don't know exactly why Dr. Fauci will be in Bristol, but he is coming May 7th, I believe. So mark your calendars.
The anticipation is just killing me.
Thank God
me.
He's not leading off the 4th of July parade that they have in Bristol every year. Oh, Friday, May 20th. I was wrong.
Okay. In other news, Matt Gaetz introduces resolution to strip security clearances from Intel officials who misled about Hunter's laptop. This is a story today. There's a lot more information coming out about Hunter's laptop as the days go on. And I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, we verified the laptop, which I know the New York Times was like 2 years behind on. But then what that entails is kind of mind blowing. I mean, there's so many different layers of corruption in this laptop, of really disgusting pictures and videos. And I think we're just getting started as far as Hunter. I don't know if you heard the story I was reading today about the EV car that they're looking into now. The Fisker Karma. Which karma and Hunter Biden really sounds good. But I think that there's a lot of stories that are about to come out. Whether or not the media will cover them, I do not know. But a lot of people are taking victory laps because they were right about this.
Unfortunately, this will probably go nowhere. It's a completely Democrat-controlled House and Senate right now. So, and there were so many leaks. How many leaks were there throughout the Trump presidency from people on various committees, and they never got censured. They never had security clearances stripped.
Yeah, but I think that is actually, and it's funny you should mention that, I think that's a huge, huge motivator for people to vote in November, because you listen to Jim Jordan and you listen to some of these congresspeople, and what they're talking about is, if we take over, and I know Kevin McCarthy, people aren't crazy about him, but they've kind of laid out what they're going to do if they take control, and it does look like they are going to. Don't rest on your laurels there. Still go out and vote. But if they are, we're talking about investigations into the Wuhan lab, into Dr. Fauci, into Hunter Biden. I mean,
to biotech research in Ukraine.
And this is all stuff that we know a lot about corruption right now as far as the Biden family goes. But can you imagine what we'd learn if we didn't have these Democrats kind of blocking all of this information from Republicans? It could be very eye-opening.
Well, you mentioned that. And also, with this has been going on with the confirmation of Ketanji Brown Jackson. I don't know if you heard this story, that the White House conveniently omitted this light child porn sentence that she handed down of 3 months to an 18-year-old who was looking at pictures of an 8-year-old. They did not make that privy to the people in the confirmation hearings, the committees.
Well, it was an interesting back and forth that I know one of your favorites, Senator John Kennedy and Ted Cruz, had with Dick Durbin, where they didn't get information until right before the committee hearing started. And they said, why did we get these hours after you? And Dick Durbin basically said, well, you should have known to call the White House to ask for this. And mm-hmm. Senator Kennedy said, what am I, clairvoyant? Why would I have called the White House? But the Democrats are very, very sneaky. And I hope, I always say this, but I hope if Republicans have learned anything over these last 2 years, is that when you get back in power, you have to have long memories. Like, you can't go back to,
It's not play nice.
Like, this is not how they operate. Grace's News is brought to you by Toyota of Portsmouth, where I lease my RAV4. Great staff to work with. Say hello to Brad. He's my favorite.
Hi, Brad.
Enjoy a car buying or leasing experience that is easy, personalized, and moves at your own pace. Car buying or leasing the way you want it to be. ToyotaofPortsmouth.com. Taylor, that is all for me today. I'm looking forward to the rest of the show. And I agree with you about the Will Smith topic. Politics is downstream of culture, and I think it's an interesting topic.
Thanks very much, Grace. 844-500-4242. We'll be back with your calls and much more here on The Howie Carr Show.
Years and years of profit-driven radio shows, whatever, turning the base into this angry, fearful, victimized group of people.
The Emperor of Hate, Howie Carr, is back.
Mount Baldy.
Mount Baldy.
What do you do if you play horsey with Don Rickles? A weird holy man get your weather girl in trouble.
Karnak the Magnificent, making fun of the bald Don Rickles, who is really been the ultimate comparison for Chris Rock and Will Smith the other night. And if you thought, if you had a line in Vegas on whether or not I would mention Frank Sinatra during my hosting today, you have won or lost based on... Exactly. Rainn Wilson, who you may know as Dwight from The Office, he tweeted out Sunday night or yesterday, he said, even Frank Sinatra never resorted to slapping Don Rickles. And it's true. I mean, say what you will about Frank and his treatment of photographers and journalists over the years, which was deplorable. I mean, he got into scuffles with a lot of people. I was listening to a podcast yesterday about The Godfather. He even got into a scrap with Mario Puzo over some portrayals, the Johnny Fontaine story in The Godfather. But that's another story for another day. But Don Rickles certainly cannot be beaten and certainly would not be able to survive in the 2022 comedy landscape, which is eroding day by day. Tom, you're next on The Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Good day, Taylor.
How you doing?
I am doing well. I have one thing for you to think of as you're talking about Will Smith. As could Chris Rock get away with making a joke on a woman who had cancer and it shaved her head? Or
No. I don't think so.
Or had another disease. This is why I think he did it. And I actually agree with it. If that was my wife and she had a disease and somebody made a joke about it, I would probably do the same thing.
But Tom, you realize that's not an appropriate reaction, right?
Yes. Yes, sir, I do. But there are times that emotional, and he was probably already stressed out. And that was a really bad joke because he couldn't make a joke
I won't say it was a joke in bad taste because I don't think so. I would say it was a poorly constructed joke and one that didn't have much relevancy. G.I. Jane came out when? In the late 90s? So it wasn't a very topical joke. I'm sure you could have found something that worked much better. But I'm not going to pretend to read anybody's minds. I don't know what Will Smith was thinking. It certainly looked like he was laughing at the joke to begin with, and Jada's glance may have prompted him to do something. I don't know. But if I were, and to my understanding, Jada was diagnosed with alopecia in 2018. And from my reading about what alopecia is, it affects mostly the hair on your face and your head, but it can certainly affect other parts of the body as well. And while that may be, and I would imagine it's very traumatic to deal with, I would not want to lose my hair in such a fashion. But Jada Smith shaved her head. And she wore that as what looked like a badge of honor. She accepted it. She embraced it. And we're told we're not supposed to be defined by the things that happened to us. The things, any traumas in the past are defined by our diseases. And it looked like she had taken that approach, that she wasn't going to let this get her down, that she was making a statement to the world, here I am, as Ayanna Pressley did. And I applaud both of those women for being as bold as they have been in embracing what this disease has done to them and not being ashamed of it and being able to publicly display it. What I don't understand is why then in good humor and good jest, may have been bad taste to some. I don't think so. I think we should all be open to ridicule and certainly good humor poking. Why she would take offense when she put herself out there and most of the people found it funny. And certainly Will Smith in 1991 found it appropriate to make fun of bald people. That's the question I'm asking. I think it was a huge and gross overreaction. And I'm not going to get into Will and Jada's personal lives, but there have been many more opportunities where he could have defended her honor, if that's where you're going, Tom. Thanks very much for the call. We'll be back. This is the Howie Carr Show.